All right, get into this here. When I was studying a little bit for all this, going into this morning, I kind of changed the angle I was going to go for to start with. It's still the same scripture. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 18 today. And we're just going to read one verse, but when I was looking around, listening to a couple things, and kind of trying to get some insight, it was actually pretty hard to get insight because there's not many people talking about it anymore. But I wanted to talk about the culture that we live in a little more, hit on one part, but then it got into more personal matters. So I said, okay, I'm going to go that route, and that's the way it went. Well, then it pulled this away where it's like, well, which one are you? And so I started looking into a couple different things. But I want to start out by asking a question. When you think about a modern church, what is one word that they always use on their websites, commercials, their radio programs, anything like that? What is one word you hear? It's not something you're going to think of right off the top of your head. It's that word connected. We live in a society, and we can apply this both ways in the world or in the churches, where the word connected is something we use as a selling point. If you go to a car dealership, the Chevrolet is number one connectivity in all across all brands. And that's a selling point for Chevrolet because we have the most connected car that you can buy on the market. Well, we've taken that connected culture to a whole new level. We all have a Facebook. We all got a Twitter, an Instagram. You got it. If it's out there, you're on it. Because why? To stay connected. Because we all feel like we need that to stay connected to one another. And it does have its purposes, like across states. You got friends in Virginia, I got friends in Alabama, and it does help us kind of stay in touch with what the other one's doing, kind of strike up conversations, say, hey, you seen you had a new baby, or see, hey, you seen you had a birthday party for your kid, great job. And it just kind of keeps you connected to what they're doing. But as a church, particularly ones in Poplar Bluff, on their sign, under every one of their advertisements for their messages, under every one of their really nice quotes they got, if it's a little poem, under everyone there's a little black banner, and it has three symbols: Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So why do we have that medium of Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for our churches, and why do we feel like it's so important? Because human nature desires to be connected on all levels. And in our brains, in this culture today, Facebook equals connected. Because that's how Facebook is marketed to you, to stay connected with everything and everybody going on. It does have its purposes, such as putting events out there for people to attend and to share and to invite. It does have its medium, but that's not really the purpose most churches are using it for. So you as a person, do you feel like the Christian life is a connected life? We're going to get into this a little bit more as we go along. We're going to read verse 1 of this Proverbs chapter 18. And it says, through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. And this is a very, very interesting thing. So, like we were talking about before, what is the number one priority of churches and teenagers alike? Well, for anyone out there that's listening and you said impressing people, you're both right and wrong. But y'all had the right answer. Connected. The subject that we want to hit on today is because we live in such a connected society, we've forgotten to be separate. And so you go through Facebook, websites, radio programs, they all have that connected mentality built in there for both churches and your personal life that we've forgotten that we're not supposed to live a connected life as a church, but a separated life as a church. So the question today that we're going to tackle, and maybe we need to think about in our own lives, is, are you connected or separated? So number one, what is connected? I grew up in Baptist churches. We have a lot of terms for what connected actually means. It can mean plugged into a church, active and online, or community activities, or starring, they called it, in ministries. And when you starred in a ministry, It meant you were the one that spearheaded it. You were not the leader, because you can't have too many leaders in the church. But you were to start in this ministry, run up this ministry, help build this ministry. And that was your job in the church. And so connected, in a more conservative term, can be plugging you in, starring in a ministry. It can be active in the community ministries you have going on. So the most important point here is that we often so get so wrapped up in these ministries of the church that we've forgotten that our first ministry is to our family. In being connected, it has hurt our church family in that we're not a family anymore. And here's why. When you plug someone in, when you get them connected and keep that connected mentality, you can listen to sermons on the radio, and that's all they talked about how connected. They said, you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, or you can email us here. And that is like a plug at the end of every radio program. Is you can connect with us. You can connect with us. You can connect with us more so than your own church family most times. And we've taken that. And that connect mentality is not something we build from the church. It's already something that's been built in the world and integrated into the church. So that connected mentality we take and use Facebook. And we all know Facebook friends, and I'll make this joke all the time. If Facebook suddenly shut down one day, how do we know who our friends were? How would we know who is and isn't our friend? How would we know how to act and react? How would we know how to choose from 6 emojis that we can click on people's posts? How would we know how to interact with real life? That's what I'm getting at. This connected culture has that mindset, has set up that template of your thinking. You see something, and there was this meme, and it's so true. It says, me on Facebook, and it's you clicking the laughy face reaction, and it's me in real life. He's sitting there with just a frowny face, just touching it. Because you think it's funny, so in your mind you're like, aha, that's so funny, I find that humorous. But in the, you know, you're not LOLing in real life. It's not what's going on. That Facebook mentality has taught us to put on a fake persona or to show out what we are not really feeling, but hey, we could feel that. If someone were to say that to my face, I'd probably laugh, so clappy face. That mentality has been built into us to where we get this connected mentality at church, where it's the same way. We've even got Facebook Live sessions of church so that you can take a day off from church in your pajamas and eat your waffles, drink your orange juice, and just relax in the Lord. Because smart TVs has made this possible. Thank you, LG. So, this connected mentality that we've integrated into our churches has completely changed the way that we view church. They're not church Facebook friends. It's a church family. And the difference there is enormous. Facebook friends can be arbitrarily blocked, unfriended, or unfollowed. You don't do that with family. A church family is there to help, encourage, and uplift one another. But we've treated it like Facebook friends, where we really don't care for that person right now because they said this. So we're just going to, there's a take a break button on Facebook now where you just take a break. And it's 30 days and then it comes back on your feed. I said, this is amazing. But then I thought, no, it's not. Because there I went. I looked, I said, this is amazing. And it's like, that's the mentality right there. People come in the church and say, okay, take a break. And shut them off for 30 days. People do that with church in general. Take a break. And they come back in 30 days and say, nope, I still don't like it. Here's a 30-day free trial with all your tithes back if you don't enjoy our services. I mean, look at it. There are no church families nowadays because we have church Facebook friends. We have too many connected churches. So why is it so important to know, distinguish, and come away from the connected church? God did not make it a connected church. God made it a church family. We're all in the family of God. And the family of God does not have a Facebook page. I'm sorry. It's not the way it's going to go. You don't like, share, and comment if you agree with everything they say. But because we've made it that way, that's the way church is. So the only way to keep your church full and numbers coming is to make sure it's continually rotating between that take a break people and the people that actually come. You need more people in the doors so that your seats stay full from them take a break people. But you've made it that way. You have made your bed that way. You have not followed God's design for church, and that's what you get. And I'm not saying, let me just head this off of the past. I'm not saying it's evil if a church has a Facebook page. It is a good medium to reach people. Invite them to the, you know, put an event on Facebook. Get your name out there. Make sure it's known. But if that's the purpose of your church, is to have a Facebook page so that you have members that like it and feel more connected to your church because your friend's on Facebook. That's not the way it is to be. And you shouldn't go nuts with it. So that's what connected truly is. It's like a Facebook church. But what is separated? This is something that we've heard all our lives, but don't really know at all. Separated, you know, it's always going to be more than just going to church or dressing different or having a different standard of right and wrong. Those are about your three basic separation standards, quote unquote. Because I Googled it. Separation. And of course, first thing to come up was separation church and state. So I had to go a little deeper. Separation in the church. And it come up with several articles. And those were the three basic elements of every one. Separation in dress, separation in standard, and separation in your church-going habits. And that was only in one article, but made really nice for a three-pointer. So why are those three things subsidized into what you call separation? It's because it's what we've been taught all along. If you grow up in Baptist churches, when someone preaches on separation, that's what they hit on. They hit on the pure physical and moral aspects of separation, which is dressing different, coming to church every time the doors are open, and your standards of right and wrong. But what is separation truly? Separation, as God has said, is a separation of your mind and heart from the world in general. Separation from their doings, their thoughts, their wisdom, and their way of doing things. Separation goes deeper than a physical appearance. It manifests itself in physical appearance, but it goes deeper than your physical appearance. It has to do with your heart. The separation that you have to encounter has to be a separation of yourself from the world. You have to go to work in the world. You have to go out and get groceries in the world. You can't avoid that. But what you can control is your mind and your heart, fully given over to Jesus Christ. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." That not only tells you why you're separated, but why you should be separated. You should separate yourself from darkness. You should separate yourself from the foolish man that you used to be and that everyone else now is. And most of you know how I'm saying that. But you got to figure out one way or the other. Separation, as in God's word, is walking in the light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It tells you in Proverbs, Psalms, all through the Bible, how to walk in this light. How to walk separated from the world. Because their way is broad and ours is narrow. It's two separate paths. Hence the term separated. But how do you know where you're going? Well, you keep the Bible, the light of Christ, in front of you. Your eyes on the light. It's very symbolic. But it has to be bigger than just a physical manifestation. I know a lot of people that have the attitude of a separated person, but it's almost like a nose in the air separation, where the church has inflated their head with ideas that if you dress different, if you adhere to these principles of right and wrong, or if you do this, you're more separated and God highly favors you. Being separated is not about having God favor you more over somebody else. That should not be your motivation in your separation. Your separation motivation is something that should be... it's not motivation to do better than others and be more favored, but it's motivation for yourself to be closer to Christ. Because separation from the world is closer to Christ. So are these actions in and of themselves enough to separate you from the world? No. You can dress right. You can weigh your decisions against a standard of morality. And you can even come to church every week and still be just as worldly as the next person. And I hear this, and I heard those very words in church a lot growing up, but in the context of that's just how it's going to be. No. It's like we've forgotten that there's a second piece of this equation that we have failed to put together here, and that's your heart with Christ. Separation starts at salvation. You are completely separated. But you must separate yourself using the Bible from all this other stuff that's not right. But it's your decision too. I know a lot of people that profess Christ but aren't willing to give over everything in their life to Christ. And that bothers me an awful lot. I believe in Lordship salvation, that when you're saved, Christ is the Lord of your life, and for lack of a better term, what He says goes. What the Bible says, it goes. There is no argument. So a lot of people that say that also believe that if it doesn't say explicitly that, you know, thou shalt not do this, then it's not against the rules. But that's a whole nother message. But people who profess Christ, but then live like the world because of their freedom, that really bothers me. Because they do. They talk a good talk. They even walk a good walk until they're around these people. So you got to ask yourself, is that what you want to be associated with? The people of Christ that are truly separated unto the purpose of Christ, to live to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, are not going to be that way. So the question today, and it was a pretty short introduction this morning, but which one are you? And which one do you most identify with? What excites you the most? It says, going back to our base text, through desire, you have to want to, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. What's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. It goes hand in hand, right, with each other. And this whole book stacks on one another. Every time, when you read through the Proverbs, I knew a very wise man that once said, a proverb a day keeps the devil away. And he read Proverbs every day for 31 days. And he said in February, he just picked it up. You know, he just read two or three. And that's very wise counsel, because this does stack one another and it does build it that way. But it says through desire, you have to want to do it. Obviously, separating yourself is not easy. Obviously, there are pressures out there that pressure you the other way. But through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh, he's looking for it, and intermeddleth with all wisdom. The fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. So, are you plugged in? Or do you have a desire to seek true wisdom? Or have you chased the desire to seek wisdom? Have you separated yourself in order to seek wisdom? Because it's very obvious that you can't be in this other mindset and seek wisdom for yourself. Do you desire for yourself to seek wisdom? Do you desire for your family to have the wisdom to guide them through what we're going through today? Just a quick thought.